McNabb stepping in for the Knights. He scores! Walked right out in front, and Braden McNabb, you read his lips, he just said wow himself.
Egan on the right sidewall, coming up to the slot. Lots of room, Egan shoots and scores! Second goal of the game for Cody Egan. Right circle, Schmidt threw it across the net map. In front, stop, another try, score! Tatar! Reeves in the right side to the right circle, centering feed, a shot, they score! Belmar fires from between the circles. Marchessault peels off on the right wing near side. To the slot, he shoots, he scores! Marchessault! 4-3 Knights! Vegas wins in overtime!
And welcome in. Good Tuesday game day. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas and the Valley. Frank Harnish along with Clayton Hamilton. And once again, you can join us tonight over at Parkway Tavern, 215 in Flamingo. Ari Platinum behind the board today because we have the crew in L.A., Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, Chris Chapman, Helen Yee. While they're on the road, we're here in the beautiful Las Vegas, Layton.
Yeah, getting ready for a little 7:30 puck drop hockey after dark. And we'll hope that maybe tonight will be the end of the Los Angeles Kings. The sweep is in play.
Yeah, and the sweep is in play. And, well, they might want to make sure they get that sweep because San Jose looks like they may be getting a sweep. Boy, it looks like Anaheim has just, the Ducks looks like they've been shot down already. They've given up on that series. It seems like they've quit. But, it is interesting because I don't know about you. I think we've discussed this a little bit. I hear so many people saying they hope they lose tonight so they can clinch it on home ice at T-Mobile. No, Dr. Frankenstein, do not give the monster any sign of life. Four teams have come back from 3-0 deficits in the history of the NHL. One of those teams was the LA Kings when they won the Stanley Cup in 2014. If you have a man down in hockey in the playoffs, you kick them, you end it.
You end it, absolutely. There's no way that you can come back from a 4-0 deficit, Frank. So get to four, end it as soon as possible. As much fun as it would be to have another day at T-Mobile Arena, too much risk involved if you can can end it tonight, end it. And I have a feeling if they can get out to a little bit of an early lead, they might see LA fold in the tent. That's what happened with Anaheim last night. I think Anaheim came in with all the hope and glory of getting that series back to 2-1, especially when they saw everybody else doing it around the NHL. And once they got down, it just snowballed, and Anaheim quit last night, and you could get that out of LA tonight.
And if you are Anaheim, what do you do? What do you do at this point here? Because both of your goalies were horrible.
They were both horrible. What I would be concerned with if I were San Jose is that the only thing I think Anaheim wants to do now, I think they know that they can't win the series, but I think that there's a number of folks on Anaheim that want to go out there and hurt a shark or two. And so I wouldn't be surprised if we see some really ugly, bad runs at players in Game 4 because of the way that Game 3 played itself out in the third period. The only thing that Anaheim can do is say, hey, we're going to lose the series, but we're going to win the fight.
And, you know, it's interesting that you bring that up because that's one of the reasons why I would love to have an easy game for Vegas tonight. But my fear is that if it does get out of control and Vegas gets up 3 or 4-0 late in the game, some of the Kings might do the exact same type of thing. So in some ways, I hope that it's a very close game, although it's heart attack central all over the place and we're on the edge of our seats and we're wondering if we're doing extra time or whatever else. But sometimes these playoff series, when a team does know that they're about to get done, it's the old adage of if you can't beat them, beat them.
Mm-hmm. And we may see that tonight. There certainly is a bit of history and bad blood between these two. And like I said, we saw that last night with Anaheim and San Jose. It was palpable the way that things were going on that arena. A lot of bad hits, a lot of equipment strewn across the ice. It got ugly. It could get even uglier for those two next time out. But, yeah, kind of with you. I just like him to get out, win this game, get home safe and sound, rest up, put a little liniment on the old joints and bones, and get ready for what looks like will be San Jose.
By the way, if you are new to playoff hockey, no matter how bad or how bloody or how nasty it gets tonight in any series, watch after the deciding game of a series, whether it's game 4, 5, 6, or 7, because then, once it's over, Then they do the handshake line where everybody shakes hands and they embrace each other and they say, go get him in the next round. So after beating the living tar out of each other for however many games it is, then you shake hands and wish them the best, and one team goes on to the offseason and the other one gets ready for the next round where they get to beat the tar out of each other again for another series. And hopefully at the end of it all, you have four series of that, you've won four games in each one, and then you get to hoist arguably the most storied trophy in all of professional sports.
And what should be fun, at least for if Braden McNabb is able to clinch tonight with the Golden Knights, it'll be nice to see what the reaction is from the guys that he went to battle with there for so long in L.A., how many sort of extra hugs and handshakes and pats that he gets going through that line.
Well, you know, it's interesting because you mentioned Braden McNabb, and I remember right after the expansion draft, when we had a chance to talk to Braden McNabb over at T-Mobile Arena in the Armory over there, and we talked to him, and he was still seemed like he was a little bit in shock. He was leaving the beach to come to the desert, wasn't really sure what his feelings were, but he said, well, these guys wanted me, so I guess that's a plus. And then we asked him if there was one guy on the team that you could hit, and he said, probably Drew Doughty.
Yes.
And boy, how that has come over the course of the season, and now it comes back, and here it comes full circle like so many things have this season. We're going to hear from Drew Doughty in a little bit, but earlier today, our very own Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, he got a chance to sit down and talk to Braden McNabb before tonight's game at Staples Center in Los Angeles, and he basically asked him, Braden, how do you guys keep up the same mentality that you've had all year long of treating like this like it's not anything special, that it's just another game?
Well, you know, it's kind of been our mentality all year, and we're not going to change anything. We haven't so far in playoffs, and no point doing that now. So we're, you know, we're going out as if, you know, we're down 3-0. We're going to play desperate to finish this series, and you know, we know they're going to come out hungry and they're going to bring their best game, and you know, that just means we have to too.
When you looked at Game 3, the first 25 minutes, LA came out. They were really fast. They were hitting pretty much at will. And then it seemed like they slowed down. Was it just kind of the mentality to kind of let them maybe punch themselves out a little bit and then take advantage when they get a little bit tired later in the game?
Yeah, we knew they were going to come hard, play physical. It's been like that all series. And, you know, we knew we had to stick with it, stick with our game plan. And, you know, we did that, and we ended up, you know, rewarding us in the third period. So, you know, we're going to stick with our game plan, and, you know, we're going to let everything else, you know, take care of itself.
And how much confidence does it give you knowing that you got LA's best effort for a sustained period of time in a game, and you still managed to win?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, yeah, they played great in Game 3, and, you know, and I thought we held our own, too, and were able to bear down on our chances. You know, Quick's been outstanding. He's, you know, one of the best, you know, in the world. And, you know, we have one of those guys too. So we're a confident group, and, you know, we want to finish things tonight, but we know we're going to get, you know, the best effort from LA.
Just talk about the job that you've been able to do playing against LA's top players, how you've been able to shut them down.
Yeah, Kopitar, he's an unbelievable player. You know, I have a lot of respect for him as a player and as a person. He's, you know, he'd be in my top five picks for sure to have on your team. He does it all. He's so big and strong, honest player. So, you know, it's a fun challenge for me. You know, he's a unique player with a lot of abilities. So it's been a lot of fun. But, you know, the job's not done yet.
And then how much confidence does it give you guys knowing that Marc-Andre Fleury's behind you?
Yeah, he's been our backbone all year. He's, you know, he's been rock solid all year, and you know, we believe in him, and you know, we don't want to lean on him too much, but you know, he's always been there for us, and you know, you just can't say enough about that guy. He's a winner. He's a great person, and we're just very lucky to have him.
All right, thanks a lot, Braden. Good luck tonight.
Thank you.
Braden McNabb there talking to Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, and of course, everybody talks about how great Marc-Andre Fleury's played, and rightfully so. To me, he has been the star of the series. Actually, him and Jonathan Quick have been the two stars of the series. The goaltending's been absolutely spectacular for both clubs. But I don't know that the defensemen in front of Flower are getting enough credit because they have played incredible. Marc-Andre Fleury's not giving up a lot of rebounds, but when he does, there's generally somebody there to smack the puck away. When one of the Kings tries to get in the crease and make it nasty for Marc-Andre Fleury to make a save, the defensemen have been doing a pretty good job of knocking them out of there. They also haven't been getting in there where they've been fighting and tussling so much that a puck bounces off of them, and sometimes you get those crazy goals like that. I think the defense in front of Marc-Andre Fleury has been exceptional up to this point of round one.
It really has been, and when you think about that crew that sits right in between the locker room, you got Marc-Andre Fleury's lockers all the way on the left, Malcolm Subban's is on the right, and then the guys in between them, Merrill, England, Schmidt, McNabb, Miller, right in between those guys. And really, when you look at players like Merrill, or you look at somebody like McNabb that came in maybe a little more pass first or offensive in terms of Miller and what the defense has rubbed off on them from McNabb and Schmidt and in England has been fantastic, particularly with somebody like Colin Miller, who's gotten pretty chippy and pretty tough in this series.
Yeah, he's gotten chippy and tough. He's still got one of the, I think, most underrated shots around the league. When he lets it go, he really lets it go. And even McNabb, I think, has been downplayed a little bit since Ryan Reeves joined the team. And obviously he hasn't played in the playoffs, but he hits people so hard that I think some people forget what a big hitter Braden McNabb is as well.
He's a huge hitter, and between the block shots and the hits, right at the top of the table in both of those categories all across the entire NHL.
And the other thing, too, is they're both young players that have gotten a lot better as the season goes on. They've gotten more comfortable with each other. And again, it's got to be a reassuring feeling knowing that when you look behind you and you have Marc-Andre Fleury there, or Malcolm Subban, or Oscar Dansk, or Lagasse, even the other guys have done a good job. But when you have Flower back there behind you, who's won three Stanley Cups and is the calmest, most unassuming superstar that maybe I've ever seen in sports, period, it has to be reassuring going, I want to play my best, I want to do everything perfect, but if I don't, I'm probably going to be bailed out anyhow.
You probably are, and you've really seen that with the evolution of Colin Miller over the course of the season. That went from that offensive guy at the beginning of the year to a guy that now that they will use a little bit on the PK and they will use in different situations, and he's gotten a lot of hits and a lot of checks in, and he's not been afraid to step up. And to think about how Colin Miller was one of the guys whose name was bandied about as one of the fellows that might not be here all year, that might be a part of a trade at the trade deadline. But Colin Miller's not going anywhere.
Yeah, and Colin Miller, well, he did go one place today. He was at Staples Center in the morning skate, and Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace had a chance to catch up with him as well and asked him the same thing that he had asked Braden McNabb. How do you make sure that you treat tonight like it's just another game?
I don't know. I think you just got to take it the same way we prepared for the other three, right? We've done a good job so far, you know, handling emotions. And I think, you know, if you look at, you know, coming from our rank, there are very high emotions. And then coming here, playing in front of their crowd, they were amped up and stuff like that. So it's just about handling your emotions and making sure that you're doing the right things when the time is there.
You're talking about emotions. The first 25 minutes of Game 3, LA came out strong. It was a big push by them, and you were only down 1-0 going into that second period. How big was that the deficit wasn't bigger and that you took kind of their best punch and were really close in the game?
Well, I mean, yeah, every team that, you know, I think it's that, you know, that first homestead kind of has a jolt energy. So they were ready to go, and I mean, I really don't expect anything else tonight. I mean, they're going to be a desperate team, and we just got to be ready. I mean, yeah, that's about it.
You've been really active in the offensive zone with activating on pinches, keeping the play alive. How frustrating is that, you think, for the Kings to just feel like there's four forwards on the ice at all times?
It's tough. I mean, that's something that we've talked about all year, you know, having five guys connected. And I mean, any team that, you know, has that kind of forecheck and then their D connected is really tough. You know, the forwards kind of think that you're coming down the wall and they get rushed to make a play. So that's something that we've, you know, talked about all year, and I think every D-man's done a good job in our team, you know, knowing when to pinch and knowing when to stay back. But we just got to be careful, you know. Their forwards are a really skilled group, and if they do get behind you, then, you know, you can get in some trouble. So just got to be aware.
And we're looking at a goaltending duel. I mean, only 9 goals scored in the series so far. Can you just talk about the goalies, talk about Flower, and the confidence he gives your group?
Yeah, I mean, going into the series, that was something, you know, that everybody talked about and thought that it would be that, and it seems to have lived up to it, right? But I don't know, really, what can you say? I mean, 5 cups between both goalies, right? I mean, they're obviously, you know, at the top of their game, and And, you know, Flower's been great for us, but, I mean, Quick's been great for them too, right? I mean, we've had some chances that he's really denied as well. So just got to keep trying to frustrate him, get the bodies in front of the net, and hopefully get one in.
And there you have it, Colin Miller earlier today. And yeah, you know, and that's another thing. It's almost a shame that this is a first-round matchup and that it's a West Coast matchup, so a lot of people in the East probably aren't staying up and watching it. You have two of the most storied goalies in the history of the league, especially in the recent history of the league, with five cups between them. And I'm not sure how many people are getting to tune into it.
And it's still two goaltenders that are right in the middle of their prime. I mean, this isn't like one or two, you know, they're hanging on and they're, you have to go back to the tape to see them at their best. They're at their best right now.
Yeah, absolutely. By the way, we will have a giveaway today, too. We got a little Stanley Cup box from our friends at NHL Network. It's got a hat, a T-shirt, a little bag that you can take to the stores and that, so you don't have to worry about recycling. And we're going to throw in a four-pack of tickets for the 51s. That'll be Dollar Beer Night Thirsty Thursday, so stick around for that. We'll do that in a little bit as well. But let's stay with the theme of the defensemen, the people in front of Marc-Andre Fleury, because earlier yesterday... Well, actually, a little later yesterday after the morning skate, Gary Lawless had a chance to catch up with Nate Schmidt, another guy who may be the most valuable defenseman on the entire team, logs more minutes than anybody else out there. And Gary asked him, how do you make sure that you do not become the fifth team in NHL history to blow a 3-0 lead in the playoffs?
Stick to your game plan. Stay the course of what's made us good in this series. And one thing I liked about our game yesterday is not changing your mentality going into the third period, and understanding that you got to still continue to play the same way, and it might take the same effort tomorrow night, you know, where you might be down and you got to come back and be resilient. And that's a mark of a good team, a team that's going to be battle tested and come playoff time.
How comforting is it to be able to look over to your left and see Marc-Andre Fleury in that stall, knowing that he's a guy that has closed out a whole bunch of Stanley Cup playoff series?
Yeah, he did it to my former team last year. It's quite painful, actually. But he's just that type of a player. You know that you're going to get his best game in an opportunity like this, and it makes us as defensemen, it gives the rest of our teams a lot more a comfort level, that knowing that you're going to get that out of him, knowing that we can go out there and just play our game and let the chips fall where they may.
If I had told you a year ago that you would have played 24 minutes in game three of a series and be up 3-0 with an expansion team, what would you have thought?
I would have said, I don't know if I would have believed you. You know, I think it's a pretty special part of this team to be a part of what's been going on here. And it's been a lot of fun. I love the guys in this room. It makes it that much more fun to be a part of it every day.
And there you have it, Nate Schmidt. And it's nice to see that Marc-Andre Fleury is turning last year's pain into this season's pleasure for Nate Schmidt.
Yeah, and Nate Schmidt probably feeling a little bit more pain if he was still in Washington. They're down two games to none heading into Columbus, and yikes. You think about that, it's a five-game swing between Columbus and Washington and what's going on here.
So Alex Ovechkin has all but guaranteed that they're going to go back. They're not only going to split in Columbus, but they will go back to the nation's capital tied, and Braden Holtby will be back in net. Well, you know, it's funny because we had a couple situations with coaches this year where they were talking about changing goaltenders. They weren't sure who they were going to start with. New Jersey started Kincaid instead of Snyder. That didn't play out too well for them. In Washington, they started Grubauer instead of Braden Holtby. That hasn't worked out too well for him. Maybe there is something to this experience factor in the playoffs.
Yeah, there might just be. Yeah, we'll see what happens. New Jersey certainly bouncing back and getting help out of their number one goaltender. We'll see if that happens for Washington tonight. But, yeah, you've got to think that Nate Schmidt, as happy as can be, is an important part of this organization, where he was a little bit more of a fringe part of things in Washington.
Is he the happiest-go-lucky guy on the team?
Yes.
Or is it Alex Tuch? I mean, there's a lot of guys that really seem to be enjoying themselves.
Yeah.
Alex Tuch really seems to enjoy life out here. Nate Schmidt always has a smile on his face, but the happiest guy might actually be Marc-Andre Fleury of all of them. He's not as outwardly like it, but have you ever seen that guy without a smile? Even when he was rehabbing and missing games because of a concussion. He just, that locker room, and I think that's one of the reasons why these players pretty much to a man say it's the most fun they've ever had playing hockey, because it's such an easygoing, relaxed, fun locker room.
It is. You think about somebody like Brad Hunt, who doesn't crack the lineup all that often, and he's as happy as anybody out there. And look at what happened with Tomas Tatar. Gets put on the scratch list, no whining, no complaining. It's just a part of the game, he says. And so nobody wants to be that guy in the locker room that brings down such a great time that everyone has had.
Yeah, you're right. And you're right. Even the guys that bounce in and out of and are trying to fight to stay in or whatever, the Ryan Carpenters, the Tatars, like you mentioned, guys that joined it a little bit later, John Merrill, who's certainly been in and out of the lineup a lot, like Brad Hunt, they always have a smile on their face, and they seem like, even if they're not playing, they're like, okay, well, I'm not playing tonight. I'm going to go up and enjoy some sliders or Taco Tuesdays, have some gummy bears or something, enjoy myself, and when I do have a chance again, I'm going to make the most out of it.
Yeah, it really has been great, and you wonder what's going to happen on that defensive line when and if Lucas Spezza is ready to return, because he played so well at the beginning of the season before the injuries started to mount up, and he had a great chemistry with Nate Schmidt, and since he's been out, Braden McNabb has developed that with Schmidt. So some decisions to be made by the coaching staff once everybody's back.
Yeah, absolutely. And one guy that is back is David Perron as well. And you'll be able to hear Dan Duva talk to Perron, and we'll have that in the pregame for you as well. But another guy who's become one of my favorites, and I know he's one of yours, I think he's one of the entire city's favorites. I respected his game in Philadelphia, but didn't watch them close enough and didn't see them often enough to really appreciate everything that this guy does. But Pierre-Edouard Bellemare has been absolutely incredible. He's one of the toughest, if not the toughest, guys in the entire league. He's all over the place. He does a lot of stuff that shows up in the stat sheet and a lot of stuff that doesn't show up in the stat sheets. I really think he's underrated. He also had a chance to sit down with Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace earlier. And like the other ones, Ryan basically asked him the question of the day, how do you make this so that it's not something so big or so special? Treat it like you guys have been saying all year long. It's just another game.
At the end of the day, it's a hockey game. I mean, there is a lot of talk, maybe a little bit more hype about it, but from our side, I mean, we've done something right through this entire series and through the entire season. It's been focusing on one game at a time. So, I mean, if it's work for the whole season and it's work now for three, why would we change anything?
Exactly. Now, you mentioned after game three, you guys play kind of an even style, and teams come up a little bit, they come in too hot, like we saw with LA first 20 minutes, and then they kind of wear down, and you're maintaining that pace. How do you weather the storm today, the same way game three?
I think so. I mean, one thing that we understand in our group is that I gotta, they communicate I'm hot, out of the gate and hard and hit everywhere. It's good for the show, it's good for their crowd and everything, but we understand in the locker room that if I make a right play by getting killed with a hit, I'm doing this stuff for the team, and I can tell when I come on the bench that everybody is giving me, you know, a tap on the back, like, that's the right play, you made the right play, and I can tell everybody's getting pumped up. Well, so it's not like we're losing the momentum because we're getting hit all over the ice in the first 10 minutes. If we do the right thing with the puck at the time we get hit, still fine. It's hockey. I mean, the game is based on hitting, so they come hard, it's fine. And last game, the first 6 minutes, I don't know, Johnny Merrill got like a lot of the hits, but every single time he got the hit, he made the right play, and the bench was fired up because of the play he made. So this is how you have to take, how you weather the storm, find a positive into a situation which is a little bit difficult. It's never fun to get hit all over the ice, but it's their building. We did the same when we came out of our building, so it would be unfair to think that they're going to come and give us an easy win. Obviously, what happened October 1st, we have our identity kind of like fall into places, really. You know, well, when you cannot play a selfish game. You have to play a match game because you're playing for something that's so much bigger than yourself, the team or the league. It's for an entire city. So suddenly, kind of you think about what happened, and you're like, all right, I have a good life. Let's play good for those people. And I think that after that, we started like in a hot streak. And then after that, the foundations they're there. You can't back off. You can't like, you know, step one back and like start playing selfish now, because, you know, it would be cheating.
So, talk about playing for each other, but what about your coach? What about Gerard Gallant and how he's kind of helped build that, bring the best out of you guys?
Well, I mean, this whole season, we've had like one guy, I mean, most of the guys, I think, have beat their season high or record high in career and everything. There's a reason for it. I mean, it's all just, you create your luck, but a lot of the time your coach can believe in you by saying something that's going to make you somehow trust yourself in a game to be able to do some move. I don't think Will last year would have scored 42 in Columbus. He wasn't used this that way, right? And through the whole year, his confidence got built up. And it's all our coaches, obviously, the coaches, staff that helped us, and George.
How much fun are you having? Is this the most fun you've ever had playing hockey?
I'm a hockey player. When you win games, life is, it's just a notch better, right? Notch easier. And we've been having a good season. And like I said, a lot of the guys have had the best season of their career so far. And now we're in the playoff, and right now we're leading. So tough to complain, really.
All right, good luck tonight. Have fun, all right?
Thank you so much.
Have fun tonight. I think he always have fun. The only time he doesn't have fun is when they sit him out of a game like the Calgary game when they didn't want him to go out there and get injured because he does play so much on the edge all the time. But I like there where he was giving John Merrill credit because, again, stuff that maybe the average fan doesn't see, you know that the other players on the bench admire it and appreciate it, and that's what they do when it comes to Pierre-Édouard Bellemare.
And it's fitting that we had him with all the three defensemen because Pierre-Édouard Bellemare might as well be a defenseman for all the things that he does. But I was really glad that he had mentioned that. And that's something to keep your eye on during games tonight. And you'll see John Merrill, he's done a great job this season of taking the body to maintain possession. Ryan Carpenter, who we're going to have on the pregame show, he does that all the time. He will take the hit to maintain possession. Pierre-Édouard Bellemare as well. Tomáš Nosek, those guys will do it. And notice how many times when you get slammed into the boards, yet we still maintain possession. Keep your eye on that as the game unfolds tonight.
Yeah, and I like what he said, too, when he said, when I get a big hit and I get crunched out there, I'm doing it for the team and my teammates appreciate it. Remember, it takes something out of the guy that's doing the hit as well. All right, when we come back, we're going to hear from Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace. He is at Staples Center. He is out there getting ready for Game 4, a potential sweep for the Vegas Golden Knights. We'll talk to Ryan. Look at another interview and get Ryan's thoughts on what Drew Doughty had to say earlier today. Still a lot more to get to here. And we got a giveaway for you a little bit later on as well. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio, your home for Golden Knights hockey.
Det här är William Karlsson och du lyssnar på Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show med Frank Harnish på Fox Sports Radio 98,9 FM och 14:30 AM. Ditt hem för Golden Knights hockey i Las Vegas.
Welcome back, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton, Ari Platinum behind the board because we have a bunch of people in Los Angeles, Chris Chapman, Helen Yee, and our very own Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace, who joins us now live from L.A. getting ready for Game 4 at Staples Center tonight. Ryan's trip sponsored by Best Mattress and Finley Toyota. Ryan, how are you doing, my friend?
You know what, Frank? I'm doing great. L.A. traffic is starting to take a toll on me. I'm not going to lie there, but the hockey's been good, and I think tonight's going to be no exception.
Well, we're glad to have you for our game preview brought to you by Findlay Honda North. Happy Honda days happen here. Findlay True North Honda in the Northwest at Centennial Hills. Game 4 tonight, Ryan. We saw some series in the other games in the playoffs, other series, Nashville we think about, or Tampa run into some trouble trying to get a stranglehold on this. They couldn't get to 3-0. Is Vegas going to have trouble getting to 4-0?
You know, this is going to be the toughest one to win. Obviously, the Kings are going to come out. They don't want to get swept. They especially don't want to get swept by the expansion team, by the Vegas Golden Knights. I expect the Kings to come out and play their best 25 minutes, like similar to what we saw in Game 3. But the problem with the Kings is I just don't know if they can sustain that over the course of 60 minutes in order to beat Vegas. I think LA is really going to push to get the win tonight. I think they're really going to push Vegas back on their heels a little bit. But in talking to the guys this morning, they're fully expecting that. They're ready for that. And they've proven that if they can weather the storm and keep it close, they're going to come back in the third period.
When it comes to tonight's game at Staples Center, you mentioned the fact before that you were actually a little bit surprised at how the crowd isn't as ramped up and everything. Do you expect it to be more so tonight, or do you expect it to be maybe less so? Could we see maybe even more Vegas Golden Knights fans maybe sneaking in there? Because it seemed like there were some Golden Knights fans there last time, and my ultimate dream here, and I don't know what you guys think about it, I'm hoping Vegas has a 4-goal lead late in the third period, And so many of the L.A. people leave because, like you, Ryan, they can't stand the L.A. traffic. And we hear a beat L.A. chant from Staples Center. That's what I want to hear.
I don't know if it's going to quite get that bad, but I do expect there to be some more Vegas fans in attendance tonight, just because, and this is just me understanding and knowing some LA Kings fans here. I know that some of the season ticket holders that I know are putting up some tickets for sale tonight, because I don't think they believe that this team could actually beat Vegas over a 60-minute hockey game, and I don't think that they're wrong. I don't know about the 4-0 dream scenario or the beat LA chance, but I do expect the Vegas fans to come out a little bit more than they were in Game 3, just because I think more tickets are going to be available for tonight.
Ryan, we saw up in San Jose, Anaheim trying to get back into things last night. Everything went wrong for them, and it looked like Anaheim reached a point last night that they quit. Do you think that that could happen to LA tonight if things go poorly early, that they will check out and get ready for the golf course?
I think that might have been the second goal or the third goal. The William Karlsson goal, to me, is the moment that L.A. quit on this series. I don't know that they truly believe in that locker room that they can come back from three games down. I mean, I know that they're going to say the right things to the media, but I would argue that them quitting on the series was losing a board battle to Riley Smith, having Riley Smith come up with a one-handed pass from behind the blue line to William Karlsson all alone in front when you're only down by one, and now all of a sudden you're down by two in a must-win game in Game 3. That, to me, was the moment that L.A. quit. And what I'm worried about tonight is if Vegas scores early and often, or if they get up, you know, out to an early lead, I'm going to be interested to see the chippy level of play that happens from there on out, because if Vegas runs away with this game, Gerard Gallant's going to have to shorten the bench, because you don't want to see a player get injured because LA can't handle losing.
Well, you know, it's interesting, too, because you bring up a couple points there, and I know you followed the Kings for many years and you know this team inside and out. Drew Doughty had a chance to sit down a little bit earlier. He was on the LA Kings website. I want you to hear what he had to say and then tell us what you think about it on the way back. Here's what Drew Doughty basically said about tonight's game, and you mentioned that play with Karlsson and Smith. I want to get your thoughts on what he says about that line as well. Here's that interview, and then we'll hear back from Ryan.
I think we need our forwards to score a little more than that, so we're obviously trying to chip in from the back end, and I think we've, you know, a lot of the goals that have generated from us at the back, so we need to continue to keep trying to do that and put more pucks in, but it's scoring as a team, not just on the back end. I played pretty good last game. I actually thought I played really well last game. Didn't really have any mistakes or anything like that, and I created a lot of offense, which we didn't, you know, obviously capitalize on, so I thought I played pretty well, but obviously there's always room to improve, so what can I do that?
The goal by Karlsson, you're going for a D-to-D, right?
Yeah.
You win the draw, so you're thinking it's coming D-to-D from Buzzy.
Yeah.
So that's just unlucky situation.
Yeah, it's unlucky, and I'm going behind the net to release for the D-to-D to break out, and we won the draw, so, you know, that's why I'm there. And then there's no way Smith sees Karlsson coming from there. He's coming from the boards, so he's kind of just throwing it to the net, and he made a good play. That was just kind of, three different things could have happened there. Whether Muzz stays with Karlsson or I stay at the net front, but we won the draw. There's a lot of things that could have happened differently. It's kind of a play that doesn't happen too often.
How much pressure do you put on yourself to make a difference in this situation?
I put a lot of pressure on myself, and I feel like I always do make a difference, you know. Every time I'm out there, my job is obviously shut down the other team's best line. To be honest, that Karlsson line has had absolutely nothing against us this series, absolutely nothing besides that one goal. And that's, due to Kopi's line and me and my D partner just shutting them down, playing really well against them. So, I put a lot of pressure on myself to help us win. But, it's a team effort, and everyone needs to pick up their game in order for us to win. But I definitely want to lead the charge in that area.
How much fun do you have at this time of year?
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. I enjoy getting out there and playing games. And, you know, obviously it's not as fun right now because we're down 3-0, but we're looking forward to hopefully getting a win here tonight, and you never know what can happen. So, this is a fun time of the year, and these battles and these all this stuff happening on the ice. It's just so much fun, and I absolutely love it.
That was Drew Doughty before tonight's game at Staples Center. And I know there's no I in team, and I didn't think there was an I in Drew Doughty either, but boy, there was a lot of I in that interview.
I tell you what, though, there is an M and there is an E, and you put it together and it does spell me.
Well, and there is an I in Kings, so.
Yeah.
That's the most I've ever heard a hockey player talk about themselves.
You know, like, what I really liked about it, too, not to interrupt you here? I like when he said, me and my D partner. He couldn't even name who he was out there with. It's like, that's a couple of... It's basically me. Let's face it. It's really all me.
And the best part is, we didn't even edit that so that it sounded as cocky as it was. That's just how cocky it was.
And I guess, you guys played the Belmar interview earlier today, right?
Correct.
Okay, so the best thing about Belmar is when he said, you know, we knew that we could be a good team, but we didn't want to say that we could be a good team because, you know, we would just be cocky. And it just shows the dichotomy, I think, right now between where the LA Kings are as a team and where the Vegas Golden Knights are as a team. You've got a collection of guys. Like the William Karlsson line, they don't really care if they score goals because they're winning games. And, you know, the only difference between William Karlsson's line and Drew Doughty's defense of that line is that William Karlsson scored the game-winning goal in Game 3 of a game that the Kings absolutely needed to win. In the playoffs, it doesn't really matter how many goals a guy scores. It doesn't really matter how many goals a line scores. What matters is when and how, like, when they score the goals. You score a game-winning goal in the Stanley Cup final to win the cup, no one cares if you only scored one goal the entire postseason.
But, Ryan, did you not hear that interview? It Riley Smith just threw the puck there. There's no way he saw him or anything. That line's done nothing.
See, that's the thing that I think, of all the comments I don't agree with, is that Riley Smith had no idea William Karlsson was going to be in front of the net. Those three guys have worked as good, if not better, than any combination of three line mates I've ever seen. And I've watched a ton of hockey. They know where each other are going to be at all times. I think they discussed what would happen if they won the draw, and they discussed what would happen if they lost the draw. Riley Smith made a beeline to that corner, and he outworked the defenseman. And William Karlsson does what William Karlsson does. He goes right to the front of the net. Like, they knew where each other was going to be.
Well, obviously you didn't hear the interview. By the way, a Drew Doughty's off Sunset Strip play is going to be called I Am Drew, which should be opening up sometime soon because their offseason should be coming out here pretty quickly.
I also liked how he said at the very beginning that our forwards need to score more.
Well, I mean, you've got three goals in three games? Like, that's an honest assessment. I completely get it. But the LA Kings are built in kind of the same way that the Golden Knights are, in that they need offense from everywhere to get going. But I found it interesting that he would marginalize the William Karlsson line when you consider the fact that Anze Kopitar and his line haven't been dominant either. So I think there's a lot there. I think it's frustration for Drew Doughty. I think he's still irritated about the suspension. And I think that he knows he's got some very interesting comments that have been put out to the media over the course of the last 4 or 5 months about the Vegas Golden Knights specifically, and all of those things might be coming to a head tonight after the game.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting too, because he basically said everything there with the eye and the team stuff and not taking any responsibility for any of the success of the Golden Knights and really not giving them a lot of credit for what they've done up to this point here either. The only thing that he didn't mention was that I don't know how much you should believe me out there, because I'm also the one that guaranteed we'd be better at the end of the season than the Vegas Golden Knights are.
Yeah, and I think that's kind of weighing on him right now. And that's, like, as a player, you have those moments where you can go to the media and you can give them cliches and you can be good. But Drew Doughty isn't that kind of player. He doesn't speak in platitudes. He's not a cliche guy. He gives you what he honestly feels, what he honestly believes. And as a professional athlete, you have to believe that you are better than the team that you're playing against. I don't necessarily think you have to vocalize that. I don't think you need to go out into the media and say, yes, this team just beat us, but we're going to be better than them at the end of the year. And then you don't accomplish that over the course of the regular season, and right now you're not accomplishing that in the postseason. Because that takes the focus and the attention off of the team and puts it onto the individual. And I feel like those expectations, all of those things that surrounded this series, because of what Drew Doughty said, have gotten into the heads of the Los Angeles Kings.
Also, Ryan, not sure if you've seen this latest news out of Minnesota, but Zach Parise going to be out 6 to 8 weeks, broken sternum. What does that do for Minnesota?
I mean, it was bad enough to lose Ryan Sutter before the playoffs started. It's definitely not good to lose Zach Parise, but, I mean, color me surprised. I just, it's a matter of time before he gets out. He goes out of the lineup with an injury, and it's unfortunate for Minnesota. But even with Parise in the lineup, I don't think that they have the depth to beat a team like Winnipeg over the course of a seven-game series.
Also, in Calgary, Glenn Gulletson fired today, along with his assistants Dave Cameron and Paul Girard.
Yeah, I agree with the firing. I don't think Glenn Gulletson got the best out of that team. They had significantly more talent than where they finished the season. I mean, Calgary should have been an upstart team this year, and they missed the playoffs, and that's just inexcusable with the type of team that they have.
And then real quick here, too, because we're up against the clock, what happens tonight, and what do you think about all the people saying that they hope the Golden Knights lose tonight so they can win at home, like it's a given they win at T-Mobile?
Yeah, that's not the right line of thinking. You want to get this series over with as soon as you possibly can. You don't want to have to play any more hockey at this time of year than you absolutely need to play. So the more rest the Golden Knights can pick up, the better. That being said, I do feel like they're going to win tonight. I just don't think the Kings have it. I want to say it's going to probably be our first non-one-goal game of the series, maybe 5-3, maybe 4-2, something like that.
All right. Well, thanks, Ryan, for the great job you guys are doing out there. And thanks to Best Mattress and Finley Toyota as well for helping make this possible. And if you go in the Kings locker room tonight, be watching out for that shrapnel from the sticks flying and breaking in the when they're smashing them against the lockers and stuff.
I'm absolutely horrified because I'm going to try my best to ask Drew Doughty that question. And if you guys don't see me tomorrow, you'll know why.
No, you'll be going to a better place, my friend. All right, Ryan the Hockey Guy Wallace here. Hey, real quick, got a giveaway for you. Got a nice little package here from NHL Network with some Stanley Cup hat, T-shirt, a little bag, a little stress puck. Boy, can I use that sometimes around this place. The battle for the Stanley Cup is on. Watch NHL tonight for the latest scores and news updates from the Stanley Cup playoffs. Every game night before and after the action, NHL tonight, only on NHL Network. And we'll give that along with a four-pack of tickets for Thirsty Thursday out at Cashman Field this coming Thursday, April the 19th, to caller number 10. 876-1340, 876-1340. When we come back, we'll wrap it up. Tell you a story about... Well, how the media loves to jump the gun on things all the time. Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Radio.
Hi, this is Brady McNabb from the Vegas Golden Knights. You're listening to the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show on Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Your home for Golden Knights hockey in Las Vegas.
Welcome back. Ari Feedback behind the board. Frank Harnish, Clayton Hamilton. Getting ready for the game tonight. Parkway Tavern, 215 and Flamingo. Should be a party there once again. And Clayton, you know, yesterday we were watching a video.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Conley of the Washington Capitals saw a little girl pounding on the glass asking for a puck. He went over, tossed the puck up there. A guy caught it, gave it to the little boy standing next to the girl. Little girl was devastated.
Mm.
Conley went over, picked up another puck, threw it over the glass. The guy caught it again, gave it to the other boy next to the girl. Girl was in tears, basically. At that point, Conley went over again because the guy's pointing, hey, the little girl, you didn't take care of the little girl yet. So Conley throws another puck over. The little girl finally gets one. She's jumping up and down. And social media in different places went crazy saying the father orchestrated it so that all three of his kids could get a puck. Well, Mr. Jump the Shark.
Yeah.
Wasn't the little girl's father.
No.
Little girl's father is seven rows back because he didn't want to go up there and take the thunder away from the kids. Not a report yet. I don't know if it was the two boys' father or not. But basically, this guy worked it out so that all three kids could get a puck. But if Conley doesn't go over and he's as diligent as he is, that poor little girl is absolutely devastated because this guy catches pucks and gives it to the boys when he specifically pointed at her. Brilliant move by the guy, or kind of a D move?
No, that's a brilliant move by the guy, because if the little girl gets the puck right away, then it's over. Conley won't care about the two little boys, but he would care about the little girl. So brilliant move by the dad.
Yeah, and I agree with you, too.
Or the uncle or the other dude, whoever it was.
But if Conley wouldn't have seen her, then it all would have been just raked over the coals, just absolutely crushed.
Yeah.
But everything worked out.
Yeah, it's tough when there's more than one kid, because then, you know, you need as many and many balls or pucks or whatever, sneakers, as there are our kids.
All right, well, join us tonight at Parkway Tavern and stick around. T.C. Martin's next on location. The Doctor is coming your way on a Tuesday. We're getting ready for VGK Hockey from the VGK Insider Show.